B-Pod Studios.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. You still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B, member FDIC.
They get you going.
In fairness, we have to make up for not watching the game.
Every day.
I might watch a baking show.
Toucher and Rich.
What do you expect me to do? Watch every basketball game?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Blitz is picked up. Jones is open. Jackpot, baby. Vegas touchdown. This time, no doubt. Put it in the W column, baby. This one's over.
Coach, in your career, have you ever been involved in a game like this before where it almost appeared like you had to win the game twice? Can you recall anything like this in your career?
I died and woke up and died again, and I was like a cat. I had multiple lives tonight. I don't like playing like that. It was tough, but again, we did a lot of really good things to win that football game tonight.
Give me another bad end. Do you know more about Spider 2 and Spider 3 Y Banana than me?
How do I look in this green shirt, really?
Oh, Willie B. Letting us down, Willie Brinson. Not coming through.
Oh, he's usually one of our more reliable guests. Hopefully everything's okay.
Nah, he's good. He misses once a month.
Once a month?
Yeah, yeah.
Like his kid had to get to the bus stop or, you know, his car. He was on the phone with school or something. There's always something school or kid related.
Like writers seem to be making up a lot of time on weekday mornings. Like they have a lot on their plate weekday mornings because, I mean, they get to shun their family all weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have the responsibility of watching college and pro football. So I would imagine that. And then, you know, a lot of them travel. And then so 9 a.m. on a weekday morning is a prime time as being, an active member of the household in order to avoid all the crap that you were probably given.
You are taking the kids to school if you are going to end up earning money for our family by doing your job on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if you were like me and you tuned in yesterday to the Monday Night Football game and said, oh, yeah, I forgot. There's the simulcast going on the other ESPN, and this is the whole thing, the much-hyped Eli Manning, Peyton Manning experiment where the two of them would sit down and they would watch the game together and just kind of chat and talk. Now, I went into yesterday's game with all intentions of sitting there and saying, well, there's no way that this can be good. I mean, Peyton Manning is somebody who's known for all of his like dumb, corny jokes that he does during the whole match thing with Tom Brady, the kind of lame trash talking. I heard that Ray Lewis was going to be involved. We obviously are very fond of when he speaks. On top of that, there was going to be Russell Wilson, who's a DB, Travis Kelce, also a DB. And I sat there and I watched it, and damned if it wasn't actually pretty entertaining. It didn't suck. And I'm wondering whether
or
not
there?
No, well, he's the most talented of all of them. He's doing more talented than
he was the one before there. He was injured. He was the most talented of the
right.
Mannings.
That was the story.
Just bad luck.
The most talented of all the Mannings. And you know what? It wasn't awful. And to be honest, it's a hell of a lot better than sitting and just watching what's over on regular ESPN, because what they've done is ever since Gruden's been gone, they've just given you people who are going to present the product to you and not rock the boat at all. I got no problem with Steve Levy. I think he's fine, but he's not Gruden. He's not someone who has some sort of an opinion on there.
I'm pretty sick of football by Monday night, so because I watch college football, and then obviously Sundays are Sundays. So come Monday night, if you ain't giving me the Gruden man, I ain't watching. I mean, I tuned in for a couple minutes last night, but they have Family Guy on FXX.
It's a decent stunt to get you to watch. Because when Gruden used to be on Monday Night Football, it could be a bad game, but I tuned in because of John Gruden.
Well, Gruden was an entertainer. And they knew this a long time ago, before the proliferation of networks and streaming of everything. They realized what a valuable chunk of time Monday night was. And so they made it so they could bring in the non-football obsessive. And that's why they had Howard Cosell, and that's why the guys in the booth became big stars, and that's why they've experimented with guys like Dennis Miller and Tony Kornheiser.
Yeah.
That's why. By the way, the Dennis Miller thing didn't bother me. It really bothered other people. I thought it was a good idea.
Well, he was the first. He was the first, like, oh, this guy doesn't know football. What? You know, how can he possibly sit in the booth that he didn't get the
right
entertainment?
Was he before Rush Limbaugh?
I think he was before
Rush Limbaugh. Was not Monday Night Football. Rush Limbaugh was a studio guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he got fired for comments he made in studio.
Donovan McNabb. Yeah, I remember that, but for some reason I thought it was Monday Night Football.
But anyway, why would you hire Rush Limbaugh? Like, what did you think he was going to say?
People didn't like Dennis Miller. Things. People didn't like Dennis Miller because he was the first one to try it.
Right.
And now you see what followed him.
The toucher and rich of the game.
There you go. Exactly.
The first try. All right. Will Brinson has answered his phone. He is the senior NFL writer for CBSSports.com. He also hosts the Daily Pick 6 podcast. Will is brought to you by Dunkin'. America runs on Dunkin'. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Will.
What's up, fellas? Sorry, I don't know. My phone didn't ring. Dennis Miller would be like Dennis Miller would work today. He was ahead of his time.
Probably, I agree. Yeah,
I'm sure. Like in 20 years from now, people will be like, you know, Toucher and Rich would be good today. You know, ahead of their times.
That's exactly right. They would. They'll have some other. They'll have some podcast that takes over the nation. Well,
what did you? I want to ask you, what you thought of that, the Peyton Manning, Eli Manning thing yesterday? Because there was, I was watching it basically to kind of make fun of it, because I knew Ray Lewis was there, and Peyton Manning can be super corny, and I kind of liked it. I thought it was.
I liked it. I loved it.
Yeah, I mean, okay. So, I mean, was it? Like, what did you like about the broadcast? Was it just because it wasn't like Steve Levy and the other broadcast?
Steve Levy and the others to be named later. Yeah. Yes.
So I've got a HD antenna on one TV in my office. It was like way, you know, the thing was way ahead of the even like DirecTV or, you know, or obviously streaming. And I had that on ABC with it muted, and then I had the ESPN Peyton Manning feed. The Manning feed was watching. It was watching that, and I found myself, even at the end of that crazy game, I was like drifting away. Usually, I watch the main TV, and then like listen to commentary a few seconds later. The TVs are like older than my child. They're not.
Yeah.
I mean, but like, I found myself like not paying attention to the main TV, like just kind of watching the Manning feed, because what happened was when the game got crazy, and once I can't believe I'm saying this, but Russell Wilson was really good at that too, and like settled in. And when the game got crazy, Russ and the Mannings were just sort of like they sort of got off script, and they just started kind of reacting to the football game. And I just find that for me, I think it's way more enjoyable to have that sort of commentary about a game instead of a extremely scripted Monday night, you know, thing with, you know, like Brian Griese and Steve Levy and Lou Riddick are trying to make these like just like very poignant points with each, you know, each play. It's like, you know,
the mission is not to offend, and the mission is to sound smart. That is the thing on every which doesn't always lend itself to entertainment. Generally, are two big blocks. If you, you know, are always trying to sound like you know a lot about football and also always trying to not offend, you're gonna you're gonna have a bland, at least on air product. But they said, listen, the NFL is the draw, and you know, we're sick of hearing complaints. So here you go. This is what you all wanted. You bitch about it every time we have anyone who's any good on. So there you go. All right. Well, listen, I did want to ask you about Aaron Rodgers. We have, as you know, we have the Bankroll Boys who were predicting that Aaron Rodgers was going to pull Tom Brady his last year in New England and kind of half-ass it. They looked terrible on Sunday. What do you think about Aaron Rodgers? Does this concern you or is it just one game?
I'm a little worried about it. I think, you know, they have Monday Night Football at home at Lambeau Field, you know, against the Lions this week too. So probably shouldn't be hard for them to bounce back. Now, if they struggle that game, you really got to be worried. I do think the Saints came out with a great defensive plan. They were extremely motivated. Jameis played well. And
can he maintain that?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So you always believed in his talent, and you think Sean Payton can coach the forcing the ball out of him?
Yeah, I mean, you saw it early. He was pulling the ball down and running when he didn't see something. He didn't see something he liked, which is not very Jameis-y. Usually, he runs around behind the line of scrimmage and then chucks something up as he's being contorted into 17 different ways, and then tries to tackle the guy running for a pick six. But yes, I think the Saints are legit. I have wagers on the Buccaneers to win the division at like -160, and suddenly I'm petrified of Jameis Winston. But Rodgers is a concern. I mean, they just looked out of sync and didn't look like they came in motivated. I'm here for this conspiracy that Rodgers is coming back to tank the season and get everybody fired. That's my favorite thing about week one.
Oh, so that's the conspiracy. He wants everyone fired, so he's going to do everything he can to make sure they suck.
Let's do this. Is he that diabolical a guy? Because he's not well liked by his ex-teammates, as we've heard.
No, I don't really think it's real, but it's fun to.
But
it definitely
but
is.
Like, would he be the guy who? Internet. Would he be the guy who did it? Would Rodgers be the guy who did it?
I guess you had to pick somebody to come back and just completely tank a season. Maybe it would be him, but they posted the pictures of the Last Dance, right? Michael Jordan would never do that. He wouldn't come back and stink, just to shove it in, Krause's face or whoever's face. He wouldn't do that. He would come back and just win and be like, F you, I'm out.
Yeah, too much pride.
I think Rodgers is more likely an F you, I'm out guy.
Okay, so there's so many things that you can try to draw conclusions from week one, and obviously that is a fool's errand to try to do that. But I think there's one thing all of us in this room, and I believe you on the phone, are certain of, and that is that Jacksonville is going to be the biggest disaster of the year. And we are hearing stories already about Urban Meyer and there being backlash, but there was an interesting thing that was floated out this morning. It was from Reddit CFB. It was like some Reddit account, but it's verified, and it's got like a bunch of people who follow it. So was insinuating that his heart wasn't into it. I know that was kind of a joke, so we can't even figure out if it's a joke, but it almost seems like it could be realistic because of how things have been going. Is there any chance that you think that Urban Meyer might not want to finish the season down in Jacksonville?
Well, that account, I don't believe was joking about that. I mean, you could take it as like, oh, that's a joke, given the account. But I'm sure there's somebody they talked to around college football that said, look, Urban is, but it was probably somebody who's like, I wouldn't be surprised if he just said my heart's on it. I don't think it's a real thing, but I don't think it's a joke either. And no, I wouldn't be surprised at all. I mean, if Urban, when this guy, when he doesn't win, he leaves.
Would CBS, okay, let me ask you this. If Urban, and this is a hypothetical, I'm not saying a particular job. If Urban Meyer quits on Jacksonville this season, would CBS hire him? Would you hire him?
I don't know if CBS would hire him, given the nature of the relationship between other big analysts at CBS.
Oh, I don't know.
Would USC hire him?
Oh, God.
I think if hypothetically, if Urban were to have health problems again, and maybe he knows, he would, you know, you leave early and then maybe you feel better at the end of the season. Okay. And then, you know, hypothetically, you could then, if you were interested in USC, take that job. Now, like, if Notre Dame came open, I think he'd just be like, I got to go home. I got to go home.
All right, but how many, okay, John and I were having this debate. How many jobs in college football are slam dunk better than USC? Notre Dame.
I think Notre Dame hard to recruit to, though, too.
But they have the deal with NBC, which probably helps.
You're probably taking three SEC schools, right?
My debate with that would be that before Saban, Alabama hired a guy that they had to fire before he even coached a game because he was at some strip club. So, like, Alabama was on very hard times. And if you look at USC, I mean, when they had Carroll, for whatever reason, whatever he was doing, I mean, whatever kind of cars the kids were driving, I mean, they were a juggernaut. So, I mean, you can win there. So my point is this, is that...
Urban would win big.
No, I know he would. But my point is, if I'm USC, I don't need that desperation hire. If I'm USC, I can pull from whatever school I think that you want to, a secondary school, so... I mean, if I'm the coach at Iowa State, I would leave for USC. I mean, that's the job I'd leave for. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, of course, yeah. Matt Campbell's a good coach and would win.
Well, the Lions wanted him, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the crazy thing about USC is they hired Sark, and so they hired Kiffin and then fired him fired him at the airport, or was that the Raiders? They left him at the airport, right?
No, that was wasn't that
Tennessee.
USC. That was Ed Orgeron, wasn't it? They fired him at the airport.
They just Lynn Swann's the guy who hired all these people,
right?
And he hired Kiffin, Orgeron, Sark, who's like just boozing in the office, and then Clay Helton.
They really should have hung on to Sarkisian. They should have let him go to rehab and then
back. Kiffin. It was Kiffin who got fired at the airport.
Well, Kiffin left Kiffin, Tennessee in the middle of the night, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kiffin's a weird guy.
But then Helton, I was like, somebody tweeted, I was like, Helton got accidentally hired.
They should have kept Sarkisian. They should have let him go to rehab and kept him. He should have. Yeah. When he said, I'm going to rehab, they should have kept him.
My point being is, if you think about the last four hires at USC, they've been poorly managed the whole time. And so I think if you just go out and do a normal search and say, hey, look, we are looking for the best pool of candidates at second tier school. Like, not second tier. I don't want to call Iowa State second tier.
Well, it's a second tier school. It's not a school that's in a Power 5 conference. I mean, they lost to Iowa. They are in a Power 5 conference?
Yeah, Big Ten.
No, Iowa State.
Yeah, they're definitely a Power 5 conference. What?
Iowa State's in a Power 5 conference?
Yes.
What conference?
The Big Ten or whatever.
Iowa State's not in the Big Ten.
They are. I'm pretty sure they are.
Iowa's in the Big Ten. Iowa State's not in the Big Ten.
Iowa State's definitely a Power 5 conference.
They're in the Big 12.
All right, they're in the Big 12.
Iowa State. I was scrambling around. I'm like, I thought it was Big 12, but I wasn't sure.
I was like,
no, is the Big 12 technically a Power 5 conference?
Not anymore, they're not, no.
All right, how dare I?
It's more the Power 4 these days, but yes.
All right, Brinson. You're off after saying they're in the Big 10. Go ahead, football expert.
They weren't in a Power 5 conference.
Technically.
Which is more reasonable than calling out that they're in the Big Ten. I know Maryland's in the Big Ten, and there's weird stuff.
No. Saying they're not in the Power 5 conference.
How many Iowa State games have you seen in your life?
In person? None.
No, on TV.
I mean, I don't know, 10 or 15.
All right. Well, you've got 8 TVs. All right. Well, you're a better man than me. I've seen. All I know is Ashton Kutcher was at the game. That's all I know about Iowa State, and that they have a coach that turned the Lions down. That's all I know.
Iowans were furious that Ashton Kutcher was the game day pick.
Well, I'll tell you,
they were yelling like, "Take a shower!" I think from the crowd. Well, isn't that what it was?
Well, you've upset 10 people. I mean, you really can't have that audience turn on you. All right. Will Brinson, thank you so much.
All right. See you guys.
All right. They didn't like him representing Iowa, but then I would say, like, who do you want them to get? It's not Boston where every celebrity, it's too much.
That's right. It's a very limited pool.
If you're in Iowa, like, really, it's like you have Slipknot.
Mm-hmm. And that's about it. That's, by the way, my favorite conspiracy theory that he just threw out there is that Aaron Rodgers
is tanking the season because he wants everyone in that organization to get fired.
Which, if it was anyone else but Aaron Rodgers, I would completely
dismiss.
I would roll
my eyes. Yep. But this is like, think about how vindictive that guy can be and how he was digging his feet into the sand for so, like, the entire offseason.
Yeah. He doesn't look right either. Look at his, look at how old he looks.
He looks like a movie bad guy we were talking about. This is scripted perfectly.
He's doing this on purpose. It's like the beard.
I'm just talking about his eyes. He looks very fatigued. He looks older.
I guess the Broncos are still all in on him. Like, they want him even after the season's done.
Well, they have so much talent on that. But Bridgewater can't win for losing. Did you see the play Bridgewater made when he stiff-armed the guy?
No, I didn't see that.
So he's rolling out. He's avoiding all this traffic. And this guy comes up, and Bridgewater just stiff-arms him down and then throws a strike. They win the game. And I know there's a lot of talent on that game, but will someone just admit Teddy Bridgewater is a good quarterback? He's a good quarterback. He's a good quarterback.
Yeah.
Why is it so hard for people to say Teddy Bridgewater is a good quarterback? He is. Look, you know, you hear Fitzpatrick's name all over the place. He's 10 times better than Fitzpatrick. Well, stats this, stats that. I don't know. Bridgewater is an athletically gifted, smart quarterback. I mean, he's no Mac Jones, but I mean, we do what we can.
Who is?
All right, so we'll be right back.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here. Now, you know the Sports Hub is the place to go for everything Boston sports. Well, I'd like to introduce you to another hub, the new business hub from Cambridge Savings Bank. It's your one-stop shop for articles, tools, resources, and banking solutions that can help you start, manage, and grow your small business. It's just the latest way CSB is supporting small businesses. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. They're member FDIC.
Sports Hub. They get you going. They get you going every day.
He looks worse than me. Way worse than me.
Toucher and Rich.
And I don't look good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Cover two, man. Eli, what'd you do? You set the alarm.
Fire
alarm.
While we're watching the game.
Are they in the house?
Oh, my goodness.
They're each in their own houses.
You're the best, man. Thanks for joining us, man. It's been a lot of fun.
Thanks so much, Ray.
I learned a lot. Nice.
I appreciate that 0.0.
It's very casual.
0.0. We'll talk about it at barbecues. Right.
I'm assuming, by the way, I actually don't know if they're at their own house, but they're in different squares.
Is that Ray Lewis? Did he set the fire alarm off?
Ray Lewis was, well, of course.
I can't believe I missed it. I'll have to catch it next week.
I mean, it's nothing fantastic, but I'll give ESPN credit. It's something different.
The thinking outside the box.
Yep.
I mean, just give me a couple of hot take machines in there and let me hear what they got to say. By the way, yesterday I got into it with Hardy off the air. You know, I've told you how I hit a drive 290 yards,
mm-hmm.
and then Hardy goes like, "You didn't do that." And first of all, like, okay, I didn't. And then he goes, "Well, there's got to be a hill." And I go, "Yeah, there was a hill." He goes, "Oh, well, then it's with the roll." And I said, "Well, it's a regulation golf course. I hit it off the tee and off the whites. Like, what do you want me to do? It went 290 yards. We did the math." And he goes, "Well, I played with a guy and I hit one on the nose and it was 260 and he hit one three times." I go, "Wait a second." I go, "You mean to tell me that you can hit a ball 260 yards and I can't hit one 290? Like, what's so great about you that like I can't hit a ball 30 yards further than you. Like, it's so out of the realm of possibility that you are so wonderful and I'm so terrible that, like, I didn't say I'm good at golf. I didn't say I'd beat you at golf. I said I hit a drive 290 miles.
You hit that hard. Yes.
I hit it that, and it went, yeah, there was a hill. There's a tree on top of a hill that's probably about 250 yards away, and if you hit it past the tree,
you got a roll.
You get a roll. You get a nice, it's probably a 20-yard roll. So 25-yard roll, I don't know. But just think, to tell me the story that you hit one 260. So it's not like, well, I hit it 100 yards and you're saying you hit it triple as far as me. You're saying you hit it. He goes, well, it's incremental after that. Like, get out of here. And then that lended me to your discussion about this golf snobbery.
Yep.
Just because you play golf all the time, I could get a guy. First of all, he's thin and much shorter than me. So I got 50 pounds on him in about 4 or 5 inches.
And physics itself just says that if you just connect the right way, then there is a possibility that you'd be able to outdrive someone.
Yeah, I didn't say I went out and shot a 72. I said I hit a ball 290 yards. Why would I lie about that? Why would I lie? In fact, the whole point of giving you the story was to make fun of my fat belly, and about, since the only good thing that's happened since I put weight on is the distance.
We have a certain Mr. Poole on the hotline.
Oh, now I'm going to have to call my father to justify the number. Yes, Hardy, go ahead, Mr. Poole.
Well, you were trying to call your mother yesterday. I did. You hit a 290. Let me call my mom.
Yeah, they were the witnesses. I mean, they were the people I was playing with.
Okay, first of all, the point about me, like when I crush one, I'll hit it 260, right? Was not that I'm obviously better than you and can hit the ball farther than you. My point, had you finished listening to me, was that the guy I was playing with the other day could hit it past me like 40 yards. And it is, like, I think exponentially harder once you reach a certain distance that most golfers of our caliber play at, you know, whatever, 105 mile an hour club head speed, the ball's only going to go so far, and it becomes harder and harder and harder to hit it an extra 10, 15 yards. So 290, that's enormous. It's ginormous. And yes, Fred, if it's downhill and it rolls out for 50 yards.
All right, 50 yards, insulting again.
Oh, hang up on Hardy.
Insulting again. I don't need to let him talk about it on his own show. Do you hear that, like golf snobbery?
There is a lot of it.
And the club head speed of 105 miles an hour, and it gets exponentially harder after every blah, blah, blah. Shut up. big deal. And then you were going to call your mom. Well, obviously, it's funny if I call my mom, but I was playing with my father and mother. I played with them when I was in Tennessee. What do you want me to say? They can vouch for it. My dad went, holy crap, I've never seen anyone do this before. And then he went, let me do the math. And he went, and we had a GPS. We had GPS, and we did the math from the tee to where we were, minus the yardage, and it turned out to be 290 yards. I don't know what you want me to tell me. I can hit a ball pretty consistently over 240, so I don't know what you want me to tell you. I mean, this and this, and I played with a guy this, and I played with a guy that. Good, good, good. I'm glad you played with so many people. It's like out of the, yes, downhill, I guess. I mean, if it's down, I never said it wasn't downhill. It was a throwaway thing that you latched on to. Well, this guy, I didn't say I could throw 100 mile an hour. I didn't say I could do something like no one else, that, like, you know, only pros can do.
He is saying that there's almost no way. Oh, Hardy's back. I don't want
to talk to Hardy anymore.
He wants to talk to you.
Here,
and he has earned that.
Come here.
Hardy has earned that. He's a friend of ours. All right.
Now he wants to play golf and everything else.
Well, that's a bad thing. Let's put him back on the air,
Fred.
Come on.
Call that number and get my father.
Talk to Hardy while he gets your father.
What?
The irony of you calling me a golf snob after you dropped 30 grand to join a private golf club is the funniest thing you've said all morning.
You didn't join a private golf club?
I didn't spend anything on the initiation. It was free. It was free to join. Come on in. Okay, thanks. I will.
How come you got in for free?
That's a laugh, because I joined when there was no initiation.
First of all, you don't know how much I spent to join the country club. And second of all...
Yeah, I do, because you told me.
I never told you that. Because I wouldn't even know.
I made it up.
All right. And you sound like an a-hole and you knew it, so you came on and threw a money thing at me. Is what you did. No, you know what you did. You doubled down. You did another prick thing. Is that you know that I made you look bad, so you called back and you threw a money thing at me.
Yeah, I was making you look so bad that you hung up on me so I couldn't say anything else.
Yeah, because you're driving me crazy with your club head speed. But keep calling in and tell me how much. Keep calling in and telling how much I spend on everything. Douchebag. Sorry I have more money than you. A-hole. Like, what a desperate move to call in and go, well, I'm the golf club. And if I did tell you that, which I don't think is true, but if I did tell you that, way to just say it on the air. All right, is this Dad?
Hello? No, Dad is not here.
Okay, Mom.
Hi, Miss Toucher. How are you doing?
Hi, Mrs. Toucher.
How far was my longest drive when I was in Tennessee?
290 yards.
Okay, how far would you say I was hitting my tee shots on average?
Oh boy, I'm not good at that, Freddie.
But 290. Good.
A couple hundred yards.
Okay, thank you. All right, there you go. Thank you, Mom.
I hit a ball over 300 on my honeymoon.
You should have let Hardy debate your mom because he thinks she's a liar.
That would have been great.
Apparently, Hardy thinks she's a liar.
There's an opportunity missed.
All right.
I just like how he throws the money thing up there. Okay. Well, now we know. Now we know where you go. If I would have done that. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. I'm a golf snob. You drop da-da-da on the country. Go, okay. Well, I guess this is what we're doing now. Okay.
Don't do this. Don't let there be weirdness between us and Hardy. I don't want that.
There's not between
I'm
us
not
and
the
Hardy.
One who called in and called in. I was telling a little tale about how he was being a golf snob, and he comes turning in about how much I spent on this and how much I spent on that.
You guys need to share.
If he would have told you, if he would have called in and said, "Rich, you drive this type of car, and here's how much this car cost." Or gone to found your address in Nantucket and Zillowed how much your house cost and said it on the air, you would have been furious.
Now, right, but if I would have told him how much it was, then that's a dick move on my part. But you did not do that. That's what he was insinuating.
If we had a conversation with how much country clubs cost, it was because he was thinking about joining a country club and asked me.
Okay, then that's different. That's completely different. If it was
so
like
you're saying that, wait, you think I came in and said, guess what, Hardy?
No, we said that that's not what happened. I said that when he came out and said that, it was funny, but the fact that you said you never told him what it was, then that's and he even admitted that you never did.
And if I did tell him it, you don't even have to back it to say anything, but if I did tell him it, it was just an off-the-air conversation about how much country clubs cost. I did not write a check for $30,000. I can tell you that never happened. They charge you amount a year.
Don't apologize for being successful, even if that is the case.
But I want to tell you something. But if he would have called in, and John, back me up on this, and Rich will be honest, and said, Rich, I Zillowed your house in Nantucket, and you paid this much for it, you would have been pissed.
I would be like, well, first of all, I don't know why you're doing that. And second of all, yeah, I'm not going to apologize that we've been very fortunate and we're lucky and we're successful.
No, but if he had mentioned the dollar figure, you would have been livid.
Well, I would have
been livid on the air.
I would have been like, where did that come from?
Yeah, exactly. Like, we're having this conversation, which is light, like a light conversation about a golf swing, and he comes in and drops the money thing, which is just like, I'm going to come down and hammer on you because you hung up the phone.
Just don't let this drag on.
I'm not mad at him. I'm just calling out what it was. It was like a desperate thing where I'm going to throw this money thing in your face, which you know exactly what it was. I'm not alone here. You know exactly what that was. Hanging up on Hardy is not hanging up on Howe or anything. Hanging up on, he's going to be here in 10 minutes. Hanging up on Hardy isn't it's fun.
Hardy's going to Applebee's to get the Bourbon Street.
I'm not mad at him. I just want to know exactly.
He's fancy-like.
Ding, 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 ding.
Ding, 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 ding.
Party's fancy loggies.
Ding, 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 ding. I'm a man of the people, and you're some snob who spent this amount of money. Exactly. That's exactly ding, ding, ding. That's exactly what that was.
I had no idea what you were doing there for a second.
He is Mr. Everyman, and I am here out of touch.
So this is the party theme song?
Yeah, he's at Applebee's. I'm out of touch. He's with the regular people, and I'm out here with the rich people. That's exactly...
Party's eating at Applebee's.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. All I want is it to be understood. And I'm over. I'm not mad at all. I just want it to be understood that that was a JV move. JV move.
Our listeners are being kind of funny. Somebody said, here's Fred. How much you want to bet I could drive the ball over the mountains?
Yeah, exactly. It's ridiculous. It's stupid. It's a funny throwaway conversation. But then it got turned into a money thing, so... If that's the way, I mean, it is what it is. Listen, I hit the ball 290. I don't know why it was so offensive to Hardy that I said it, or why it's so unbelievable that that could happen, but it did. And what do you want me to do about it? Nothing. And I'm, I don't even know what to say about the money thing. I don't know why it's anything. Golf snob, by the way, is like you're like a pure golf guy. It's like a funny little thing. And then you're a snob. You spent this amount on this. Is like, okay, this is what we're doing. Okay. JV. Very JV move. All right. He should apologize to me for that.
Well, he'll be here for the crossover.
I'm not mad at him, but he should be like, all right.
I know, but
he should be like, all right, I shouldn't have done that. Because if I did tell him that, it's certainly, we're friends. I'm friends with Hardy. Like, friends with Hardy.
Yes,
he's
of
been
course.
To my house.
Of course.
So, like, if I told him that, which I didn't. I did not write a check for $30,000. But if I told him that I did something, it was in the midst of a conversation, and that would be information that I would only tell a friend.
All right, Hardy, if you get here in time, I want you you feel free. Walk in right at the stack. I want to make sure there's a little bit of... I want you to put this to bed before
the
show
the air
starts.
So nothing right. is uncomfortable.
And I know you guys are friends enough that this is... you're not.
I'm not mad at him. I swear to God, I'm not mad at him. And he's got absolutely no reason to be mad at me. Mm-hmm. I mean, hanging up the phone on him, I mean, please... I used to call his weekend show his Chachi every weekend. I mean, please, it's radio.
Troop was mystified.
That's the only reason I did it. It's because Troop would never even...
Troop had no idea what was going
nor
on.
Nor did he care.
That was fantastic.
Nor did he care at all.
Yeah. Someone says, do you have a monocle when you golf, Fred?
Yes, of course. Let's get into that. Let me start. Let's say how much everyone owns is. All right, what's coming up in the stack?
Well, hopefully Hardy, but also CM Punk chimes in on Aaron Rodgers' hair.
Yeah.
NBA may have their new Field of Dreams spot, and what is the greatest fist fight in movie history?
Ooh. Fist fight would not be boxing.
And number one is excellent.
All right.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. You still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B, member FDIC.
Have all that for you here at headlines.gov.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack. Stack, stack, stack it up, stack, stack, stack it up, stack, stack, stack it up.
985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
All right. So I teased this. I have the 11 ranked, the 11 best fist fights in action movie history. Now, how is a fist fight defined? It's not just a fist. It's basically when you have, like, no guns, no tanks, nothing like that involved. And it's the reason why nothing from the John Wick movies is on this list. Because John Wick, one of the insane things about it is the sheer... Did you say that was the number one one?
Yes.
Dude, you couldn't have nailed it anymore. Number one on this list is one of the greatest action movie scenes of all time. It's from the movie Old Boy. The original, not the remake, which has James Brolin in it.
Well, the remake misses the whole point. It doesn't have the savage part of it.
See, I never saw
Neither did I, but Spike Lee remake. I just know it doesn't have the twist that the Korean one has.
There is a scene, and it's the one that ends up being number one on this list of the best fist fight in movie history, where the main character is in an elevator, and the elevator opens up, and in front of him is a hallway of about 30 guys. And it's a thin hallway, and it's him by himself, and he picks up a hammer. It's him with a hammer versus 30 guys, and the camera doesn't cut
the entire fight scene.
A one shot from the side. It's like as if you're playing Super Mario Brothers.
Okay.
It's on the side, and you just see him go through 30 different guys with one hammer, and these are all ninjas, and it is one of the best action scenes ever. If you've not seen it, the original Old Boy. Also, watch the movie. It's great, but the ending is...
You got to watch the Korean one because the U.S. one, they took out the taboo part.
Mm-hmm.
So, because there's a twist that makes Old Boy even more worthwhile. And that is the only Korean movie I've ever watched.
Oh, there's some pretty good ones. I saw The Devil is Good. Ooh, that's a really messed up one.
But I'm just telling you that it's worth watching, yes.
Two things. First of all, does The Matrix count for any of this?
You just said no.
No, I said John Wick. The Matrix would count, but it's not on this list, even though there are some pretty good fist fights.
That second one where Neo fights like 85 Smiths is pretty good.
Yeah, not bad. Not on the list. Not in the top. And I will admit there's like three on here that I've heard are good, but I've never seen. There's one that's not on this list that if you haven't seen the movie Atomic Blonde... with Charlize Theron. Oh, that movie was awesome. And it went so under the radar. There's a fight scene where I guess they took like a month to choreograph this fight scene. It's her on a stairwell against three different guys. And it's one of the most realistic fight scenes I've ever seen. It's one where they get like tired in the middle of it and then they get like energy back up to fight. And the reason is because they never cut the camera, just like you said, just like an Old Boy. They kept it rolling for about four gratuitously long fighting minutes, and it's just fantastic. And that's a great action movie as well. If you like the John Wick movies, you would like Atomic Bomb.
I had one in my head, but I forgot it. Old Boy. Oh, is the Kareem Bruce Lee fight from Enter the Dragon on there?
No, but that's a great one. Not on the top 10.
I have a listener who tweeted me one that I agree with because I just went down a YouTube rabbit hole. Ip Man.
Ip Man is not one of the ones that's on here. It's a great karate movie.
There are like four of them, but the action sequences are amazing.
Yeah.
And again, that was a YouTube rabbit hole for me. It's pretty good.
Yeah, that is not on the list, although it is very good. I will give you one hint. There is one from the Marvel series. One fist fight from the Marvel series, and it is really good.
I wouldn't know.
I'm thinking it's a Captain America thing.
It is a Captain America scene.
Yeah, because everyone else uses some kind of...
At number five on the list, Captain America, the Winter Soldier, the elevator fight. It's where he's in the elevator,
and he's
filled with all these other guys, and he realizes that everyone on the elevator is there to kill him. And he just goes, all right, are we just going to get this over with? And
yes.
He just takes out every single one of them in the middle of the elevator. It's a fantastic scene. All right, starting at the end of the list, at number 11, Gladiator, Maximus versus the Tigress of Gaul. Yeah. He was the guy they brought back who was one of the best fighters. And remember, they released the tiger as
Grand
well.
Grand champion, yes.
Yep, and he ends up like stabbing him in the foot and then kills him that way. At number 10, The Transporter. Frank versus a Room Full of Thugs. If you haven't seen the Transporter movies with Jason Statham, there was one in the Transporter 2 that used a fire hose where he wrapped it around a bunch of guys and then turned on the hose and it whipped them all around the room. That's actually a good one. At number 9, another great movie, Eastern Promises. Viggo Mortensen beats up a bunch of dudes completely naked in a bathhouse in Russia. Fantastic
been there.
Movie. At number 8, Fred, I will give you the line, you tell me the movie. I came here to kick ass and chew bubble gum and I'm all out of bubble gum.
Oh, that's not Cobra.
Nope.
No.
Think even lower budget than Cobra. Think WWE low budget, or F at the time.
The one with John Cena.
No. Let's go 1988, baby. John Carpenter's classic, They Live. Rowdy Roddy Piper, the brawl.
Yeah, the brawl
for the sunglasses.
Right.
Excellent fight. I'm glad that made it onto the list.
R.I.P.
At number 7, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. There was an amazing fight that was in that, but I don't know, a lot of people don't remember that. In number 6, The Bourne Ultimatum. There was apparently a really good bathroom fight. All those movies kind of blended in for me.
That's a little difficult to differentiate. Which one you saw and what was going on.
By the way, Mike Lockhart said, is the fight at the end of Rocky V on there?
Sue me for what?
Is that him and Tommy Morrison going on in the back?
You know, Bell.
Touch me and I'll sue. Sue me for what?
And then he punches out the Don King type guy.
Bounces him off a truck or a bus.
Not on the list. But by the way, like of all the Rocky, don't mean to sidetrack, of all the Rocky fights, what's the best one?
The funniest one is the Clubber Lang one.
Yeah.
Because that is hysterical, because neither of them literally ever puts up their gloves. They both stand with their... It's hysterical. And the sound effect they use for him getting hit is hysterical. Like, Rocky takes 100 full right crosses, square, no blocking to the face in that fight.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, and then the great thing about that fight is then the ringside announcer starts going, oh, it's a strategy. He's like trying to tell,
wear him out.
He's using his face to wear him out.
That was the whole thing.
Saw how he drew him in.
Yes. So you were to, as an audience, buy that the strategy was to hit me in the face, to which there is no other alternative for Clubber Lang. I'm doing everything I can.
Yeah.
So, like, He's by not blocking him, he's drawing him in to hit him in the face a bunch.
I'm going to go with Thunderlips that fight.
You said it's an exhibition.
There's a little fun in that one.
Yeah. All right. At number 4, The Legend of Drunken Master. There's actually a great fight in that. From Russia with Love, Bond versus Red on the train. And at number 2, a movie, Fred, that the sequel is just way too... I would never say this about an action movie. It's way too violent. It's The Raid 2. The Raid Redemption is like... Or the first Raid is unbelievable. It's one of the best action movies ever made. But the Raid 2 is just like so insane that I don't even know you can keep up with it. There you go. Old boy, Fred, you nailed it. Best fist fight in movie history.
All right, there you go. That'll do it for us. Brandon Merriweather on with us tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Bye.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. You still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B, member FDIC.
Hey, the 82 preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. So don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, every opening tip to all those buzzer beaters, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and much more. And if you're new to sports betting, it's super easy to get started. Try betting on something simple like a team to win. Go to the app, select your team, and place your first bet. That's simple.
And here's something to sweeten the deal. For new customers, bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Again, use the code SPORTSHUB. And if you're a new customer, you'll get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. That's only on DraftKings.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21+. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketball terms.